All right, are we good?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, all that. All right, I'm Cindy, I'm an addict. And I first met Kathleen, I got clean in February 2007. And went to, right after I got clean, went to a convention. And Kathleen and Dickie were these people sitting, like they were always sitting there with tape recorders and selling tapes. And I thought, that's interesting. Oh, wow, they record. I can hear later what people talked about at the convention. That's really awesome. And they would come every year for several years. And then I started getting like, Cindy, we want you to do a workshop. And I'd be so scared. And Kathleen would sit down there and just say, it's going to be fine. You'll do great. And Dickie would give me these hand signals of how much time I had left. And you know, I just felt a connection with Kathleen. And that happens in these rooms where we don't have to have big, long, deep conversations, that we connect and we know that person, like, they get me. And that's how it was like with Kathleen. I love her dearly. And I am so grateful that she's back in Arkansas and can come speak at our convention. So awesome. Kathleen?
Give me a minute, I gotta figure this out. Okay, I'm an addict. My name's Kathleen.
Hi
guys. This has got a hook too, so I'm gonna hook it so it's not in my way. Okay. Start. Hi, I'm an addict. My name's Kathleen. Y'all look great out there. First thing I want to do is I want to thank the committee for asking me to come up and share my experience, strength, and hope. Not sure where Spirit's going to take me with that, but anyway, I am grateful and appreciative of the love that I get. So I'm kind of curious myself, who in here have I hugged since I've been here today? Oh, there's a few. Well, the reason that I want to say that is because I hugged you one time, but all of you hugged me. And that's what I take home in my spirit. That's what helps me get through those tough days. Or our literature talks about we divide our pain and multiply our joys. And those hugs are the things that got me here. And are the things that I take with me. I hug people everywhere we go. I will stand at the door at a meeting to, when people come in, to embrace them. And sometimes they try to get away, and sometimes I try not to let them get away. And, you know, there's little tricks to the trade, and you know, I'm in my home group, I'm the hug whore. I like it. So, one thing that I want to acknowledge is that on the weekend of March 7, 8, 9 of 2003, I was looking for a fat boy because I rode a motorcycle and it was a Sportster and I wanted a fat boy. And the weekend of hanging in the fort, March 7, 8, and 9, which is the same dates of this weekend, was the first night that I ever slept with my husband. Now, we didn't kiss. We didn't screw around. We slept together. But it was the beginning of a journey that I'm still in 22 years later. And that is something that... That was not me. Relationship in my world was, you know, overnight. Most of them. I did have one with a man that used to like to beat the hell out of me, but in the end, I had a beautiful son with him, so that was the best part of it. And that made it all worth it. Anyway, so I came into recovery. I don't want to say the first time I came into recovery, I did change my clean date, but I did never leave the rooms either. So I really don't know what is the day of my clean date, but I came in on November the 9th of 1993 is when I first came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And I say my clean date is November the 9th of 1998, because of non-alcoholic beer. And it took me a long time to get to that point of changing my clean date, but when I first got here, there's a pamphlet that we have, and it is titled, Am I an Addict? And I've been sitting here thinking, since I've been here today, about the similarities and not the differences. And I just keep going back to that pamphlet, because in that pamphlet, there's 29 questions that it asks me. It asks whoever's reading it, but it asked me in 1993. When I came to my very first meeting, I came because he had a problem and I wanted to fix him. So I didn't have any similarities or differences in here. I didn't belong, I knew that. Well, I took that pamphlet home because it was free, I like free, and I started answering the questions in that pamphlet, and I wasn't liking the way it was going, so I started doing some lying on it, even though it was only for me. Nobody else was looking at the answers in that questionnaire. And the thing that I found very interesting with it was, at the end of writing all the answers to the, or not answers, but checking the box, yes or no, at the end of that, it said something to the order of, if you've answered yes to any of these questions, you probably need to look at that. I'm not quoting it because I can't do that stuff. But then it said, which I thought was really ironic, it said, of those 29 questions, never once was the word drugs used in it. But I came back the next night because I had a problem. So I guess there was a lot of similarities to a lot of my differences. And I've been coming back ever since. But anyway, so my husband over here, I didn't know at the time, but my husband became my fat boy, that motorcycle that I always wanted. I thought it was going to have two wheels, but Spirit gave me what I needed, which is my husband. He's always been a big man, and so anyway, when I married my husband, just before I married my husband, I moved to Louisiana, and I started doing recovery down there. I had a sponsor up here that I loved dearly, but I know that when I left her house one day after doing an eighth step, that I went out to get on my bike to go to the function they were having down the road, and I had to stop and cry because I knew I just shared an eighth step with a using addict. And I'm grateful to say that as of late, I've connected with her and on some kind of a outside issue, and she's doing well. She's not doing NA, but that's okay. Some people don't need it, some people need it. My disease isn't out there doing push-ups. My disease is right here in every heartbeat. That every time my heart beats, my disease beats with it. And I know that. I get little glimpses of that. Sometimes they're big. Sometimes they're just little. You know, there's plenty of them. And I don't know where I'm going. I'm sorry. I'm kind of a basket case up here. But so I went to Louisiana, and I remember telling myself that I needed to find a woman sponsor down there closer, because I was used to seeing my sponsor in a meeting. And a friend of mine came to Louisiana to visit us, and we were going through some of those old tapes that my husband had, and we were listening to this guy, and this guy said on the tape, he said, "If you're looking for the perfect sponsor, you're never going to find it, because we are not perfect people." And I knew then, at that point, that I needed to change the way I was looking at things. Because I wanted, well, I didn't want it. I went around to a lot of different places and listened to a lot of different women share their experiences, and I picked it apart. Oh, well, I don't know about that. Because I wasn't looking for the similarities. I was seeing the differences. And it was like, well, I didn't have that happen. And, well, that's not part of my story. So how am I, you know, how do I relate to that? And so I had asked a woman to sponsor me, and she had a lot of things going on. I said, it's okay. I'll find another sponsor. And we were going, it was close, maybe the next weekend or the weekend following, we were going to a convention in Biloxi, and we were going to record that. And when we got there, we started doing our setup, and I saw this woman standing over on the wall. And I kind of recognized her, but I really didn't know who she was. And spirit moved me. And I went over to her, and I asked her three questions. I said, "Do you sponsor?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Do you work the NA steps?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Would you sponsor me?" She said, "Let's sit down and talk about that." And we sat down and we talked about that, and she agreed to sponsor me. And as I got to know her, we had nothing in common. She had gone to jail. I've never been to jail. I did not lose my children to the disease. I didn't go to jail. I didn't lose my kids. There's all these yets that I still have in my story. I always wanted to not change my clean date to be one of them, but I did that. So that's a yet that I did in the process of my recovery. And so she was my sponsor, and we started working steps and things and doing a lot of different things. And the year came around that I was going to celebrate 18 years clean. And in that process, I listened to myself say to a couple of different women, "Well, I wouldn't share that from a podium." And it was like, why wouldn't I share this thing from a podium? I've shared a lot of really sick shit from up here. If you want to know, just ask me afterwards. I'll tell you. I won't subject everybody to it, even though I'm not afraid of it either. Some people need to hear it, because some people need to know they're not alone. And so anyway, if you want to know, I am an open book. So I said to her that I wasn't going to share from the podium that I participated in non-alcoholic beer. And I never quite understood why I always felt that way. But through the process of working steps and applying principles and getting some integrity, I made the decision, instead of celebrating 18 years that year, I would celebrate 13 years. And a funny little story is that on the wall of one of the meetings here in town, they did blocks that you could put your clean date in and put your stuff. And I think that's one of them, where I came to a meeting up here one time and I looked across the wall and there was my name, and there was 11/9/1993, and Higher Power has a sense of humor, so I just went over and I turned the 3 into an 8. Because I didn't know what my clean date was. I knew it was in the summertime. I knew it was around 4th of July, but you know, that was just too much work to sit down and try to think what the hell. So I just kept the same month and day, which I wasn't giving myself anything, but I kept the same month and day, and I just changed the year. And I feel really good about that today. It took me a long time to be able to say I feel good about that. But now, I have been able to share that from a podium. I've been able to share the other crazy stuff from a podium and anything else, and it's a beautiful thing. I don't know where I'm going. So I was working with this sponsor. I'm going to stay on that road. I was working with this sponsor, and I guess sponsorship is the topic for me. And I would go there, and her son died. Her son died of an overdose, and she ended up getting custody of his daughter. And when she got custody of her, our relationship changed dynamically, because she was just a little girl. And so she needed to have her grandmother's time. And so I would call and try to get together with her, and we traveled. It wasn't just about her, don't get me wrong. But we traveled for conventions on weekends, and it just wasn't working out like it used to. And when I was, I don't know what step I was on, but I remember going to her house, and we went to her bedroom to work on this step, because the house was full of people and such. And when we sat down, I said to her, I said, "Is this working for you?" And she said, "Yeah, this is working for me." And I said, "Okay." Well, it took me another year before I realized that that question was not for her. That question was for me. Because it wasn't working for me anymore. It was a year later. I had a step done, and a year later before I was able to get together with her. And it just wasn't working for me. And my recovery is about me. It's not about you. It's not about my sponsor. It's not about my friends. It's about me. I'm the one that has to save my life. Y'all are helping me, but I'm the one that has to save my life. And so I made a decision that I was going to, I don't know that I even made a decision. I went to a convention, I went to another convention, and I had, my husband and I went on a cruise one year, and while we were on this cruise, some friends of ours from recovery were also on the cruise ship, and I ended up spending time with this one woman, and we had a lot of fun together. We connected. And so we're at the Louisiana Regional Convention in Baton Rouge, and she's the Friday night speaker, and you know, I just went up to her after she shared and asked her, "Do you have room for another sponsee?" I don't know that I was even looking for a sponsor at the time. And she was like, "Who?" And I said, "Well," nothing did I really say. I just kind of was like, and she was like, "Sure." So we started a relationship, and it was really good, because I didn't work, she wasn't working, She was retired, and so we had all this time, and I started doing work with her, and it was like good stuff. And so when the pandemic hit, and I should say after the pandemic hit, when house prices skyrocketed and people were selling their houses for more than what they were asking. And she and her husband had been wanting to move to Florida, so they took advantage of it, and they had somebody came in, and you know, within 30 days they had to be out of their house. And she was on her way to Florida to find them a place to live, and she stopped at my home and spent the night with us on her way. And I think it was maybe 2 weeks. No, it wasn't 2 weeks. It was a short time later. I told her, because she was out looking at places, I told her that I was gonna, that I had asked somebody else to sponsor me, because I wanted somebody close by. She was moving to Florida. I was living in Hot Springs, Arkansas at that time. When she was in Louisiana, she was 3 hours to Alexandria from where I live here in Arkansas, and she was 3 hours from Alexandria from where she lived, where my husband's family is. And so anyway, I'd asked this woman in Memphis to sponsor me, and I believe Spirit put her there because I saw her walk by my kitchen window one day when I was in Hot Springs, and she had no clue about it because she was in Memphis, but she walked by my window. It was like that, a moment of clarity or something. I'm not real sure what that was about, but I asked that woman to sponsor me, and I went to her home, and we started a relationship, a sponsor-sponsee relationship. And I mentioned to her I wanted to try it for 4 seasons. Never said that to a sponsor. It's like, let's go through the steps. And then if it's not working, that's a whole other story. But it was for 4 seasons. And by the time that 4 seasons passed, I hadn't had much time with her. And the time that I did have with her was through texting. And I don't want to text my sponsor. I want to talk to my sponsor. I want her to hear my feelings or be able to make some kind of a connection with me that I'm not finding, maybe. And so I was going back to Louisiana one day, and I called my previous sponsor, and I asked her if she would take me back. And she was gracious enough and extremely loving, because she was like really happy to know I was coming back. Must be doing something right. So I went back to her, and I tried to reach out to my friend Amanda in Memphis to not tell her on a text. I wanted to talk to her. And she finally called me back. It was a couple of days later, but she worked on the phone. And phones just wasn't her thing. She's much younger than me. Young people text. And she said to me, which I thought was so beautiful, she said, "Isn't it a beautiful thing to know how much you can miss somebody?" And I just thought, wow, that's pretty cool to hear that. And so I got back with my sponsor, and here's as of late. So in 2019, my son told his stepfather and I want to build you a house. And And he built us a house. He built us this beautiful house. He wanted the house that he lived in, which was a house that I owned. And so for that house, he did all the work. We never paid him. He did all the work on the house. We bought him tools, whatever he needed, and we bought what we needed to build it. I put it on a piece of paper, and he put it on the ground. And he built this amazing house for us. And so in 2019, we started that process of building the house, and I started staying in Arkansas. So I've kind of been in Arkansas since 2018. And Mother's Day of 22, the house was pretty well done, and we had dinner at my house, and he went around the corner to his house, and he picked up a box in his kitchen, and he went to take it outside, and he dropped it 3 times, and he was like, and it was an empty box. And as the process went, he went to a doctor. He found out that it could be a pinched nerve in his neck. And so he went to the doctor probably, I think it was like August or September. He had gone to the doctor, and the doctor told him that it could be a pinched nerve, but he had this double reflex going on in his lower extremities. And she told him, she said, it could be a pinched nerve, but she said, the only time that I've seen this happen is with ALS. So in December of 22, look, this was like the bomb, because I said, man, I should have brought me a tear cloth. So, in December of 22, we were planning a trip. And we were going to Las Vegas, and from Las Vegas we were going out west, and we said we were going on a trip to see the big trees. So we went out to see the sequoias, and we went out to see the redwoods, and we met some people on Zoom, my husband and I, and they were so gracious. They had a place for all 5 of us and the rabbit in San Francisco area, and it was a beautiful journey. It was a beautiful journey, and we left our home in Hot Springs. And I had fallen that day and jacked up my wrist, so I couldn't drive. And my daughter-in-law, that doesn't like to drive, she drove all the way out there because my son had no use of his arms anymore. So from August to December, he had deteriorated that far. And he was still able to walk a little bit. And one of the things that when we got home, we didn't want to know what the diagnosis was before we left, because we didn't want it hanging over us, even though it was hanging over us anyway. And I remember at one point I was in the back seat, and you know, I grew up in I don't mean to say, you know, I grew up here in Narcotics Anonymous, and I have learned that I need to share the feelings that I'm feeling, or let them out anyway. I don't have to stuff them or hide them or cover them up or any of that. I need to feel it, and I need to let it go. And I was sitting in the back seat, and I was crying. I was thinking about what was to come. And so my son said, Mom, are you all right? And I said, yeah, I'm okay. I'll be fine. Just got to let it come in and let it go out. It came in this window and went out that window. And And I think that was the only time that I really got emotional, where he could hear me. And so we went to the trees. We went to my daughter's. My daughter lived in Las Vegas, and she was having problems with her husband. He was a lovely man. He was a lovely man, but he was one of us, but he was not one of us in the rooms, and it wasn't lovely anymore. And she struggled. They had just adopted two babies, a four-year-old and a two-year-old, and there was a lot of things to look forward to in life. And, you know, the disease is so cunning and baffling that he didn't have it. I have his basic text today, and I got to see him, and I got to hug his neck, and we went on our journey and came back home. And January 11th of 23, we got the official diagnosis that it was ALS. And Mother's Day that year, we took my son up to the hospital in Little Rock, and they put him on a breathing machine and gave him a stomach tube for feeding. And he never got out of the bed after that, really. Not by himself. He went outside a couple of times in a wheelchair. That was lovely. They fitted him for a wheelchair, and he rolled it over to the house a couple of times. That was beautiful. He put a ramp on our house because we figured, you know, we're getting older, we need a ramp, but we never expected that he would be the one to use it first. So Mother's Day is kind of a bittersweet day for me anymore. In 2006, my sister called me and told me about her daughter had passed from this disease. Well, her daughter was my second child. And so in 2006, my sister and I buried a child. And what I knew from that and from recovery, I had met from going to conventions many people that had lost children. And that was one of my reservations. If anything happens to one of my children, I've got the right to use. Well, that was taken away from me. Somebody shared about losing their child, and it was like, what good is it going to do me? It's going to take the rest of my family away from me if I do, even if I thought I wanted to. So I'd already lost a child. I gave her up for adoption, and then I lost her in life. And so I had a little bit of experience in it, but it was so, the similarities, not the differences, but it was different because this was my baby. He was my baby. And and so my daughter came. My daughter told her husband, I want to go and help my brother because he wants to live. And the day of the 11th of June, she sent her husband some pictures where she was on the river up in Clinton, Arkansas, on one of the rivers up there, hanging out with family and friends. And She sent a picture to him saying, look at these babies, they're thriving here. Please do what you need to do to get clean, to get sober. He had a drinking problem, not a clean problem, but this works either way. And on her way home that night, she got a call. He was dead. He had drank himself to death. And I have his basic text where he highlighted. And I pull it out and look at that sometimes, because there was times in there I could read where he wanted this thing. And again, the disease is cunning and baffling. He didn't see it. His disease wouldn't let him see it. So on June 11th, we lost him. And August the 9th, we said goodbye to my boy. It was a long, long process. There was times that I'd say, man, if this would have been a car accident, it would have been so much quicker. And I'd feel bad about saying it, but it was true. So, back to sponsorship. So it was sometime after, there was a convention in Little Rock in October, and I so wanted to go, but I couldn't leave my house. Just could not walk out the door. And I had many attempts at trying to, and I just couldn't do it. And so at one point, I guess I don't know, maybe the year had passed. In January of 24, I told my sponsor, I said, I'm ready to start steps again because I've got to get into the solution. I'm dying. Because life wasn't fun anymore. And I had two new grandbabies there. And my son's boy, that's 15. And life just wasn't fun anymore. And I remember the first of the year come around and I said, I've got to get into the solution here. And so I started working steps, and I realized something. I would say it was probably in the third step where I'm starting to make that connection with my higher power again, because I wasn't doing that either. Even though I did start doing that at the first of the year, I wasn't doing it. I wasn't doing it the way I was used to doing it. And one of the things that I did when I sat at my son's bedside was I would write down in my notes on my phone, I would write a letter to him every day, or a note, or I started out with 10 things I was grateful for, and I tried not to ever repeat them. And then I went into I started writing him letters. I don't even know when that happened. You know, I'm sure Spirit had something to do with that. But I didn't know when that happened, but I started writing him letters. And the thing that I did, because I couldn't make meetings, so I did Zoom meetings. And I would have them in my earbuds. My son couldn't talk anymore, and he had this thing in his throat. And he would kind of send out kisses. We always said they were kisses. When he wanted our attention, when he needed something. Because he couldn't talk anymore, he couldn't raise his hand, he couldn't move his feet, he couldn't do anything. He just laid there in this hospital bed. And he could look around. And his mind was so bright, because it doesn't affect the mind. But he wouldn't talk to us, or we just couldn't find his feelings. And so anyway, I'd go on Zoom meetings and I couldn't talk because I'm next to him and he's sleeping or aggravated or whatever's going on with him. And so I would just type to the chairperson, whoever was chairing that Zoom meeting, I would type and I would tell them where I was at. And then I would send it. Nobody in the meeting heard any of it, but the chairperson heard it, and I wasn't alone. I wasn't alone there. And when my boy died, I tried to find 3 things to be grateful for every day that weren't the same. And most days I was able to come up with something, but it didn't happen every day. And I'll tell you what, it's so beautiful what recovery has given me. Narcotics Anonymous opened up my heart so big and so huge that I loved my boy so much that I never would have thought I could have loved him with the amount of pain that I feel from him not being there. Amazes me. So one day, I think my sponsor said to me, I told her I was trying to go to this convention and I couldn't get myself out the door. And one day she called me and she said, "So Kathleen, how do you feel about coming to our convention?" And it was a little small convention up in Helen, Georgia. And my husband and I went there a few times and recorded it. It was very small. It was, you know, kind of like this one. And I said, "I could probably do that." And then she said, "Well, we'll take care of your room and we'll pay your gas." And I was like, wait a minute. Are you asking me to come share? And she said, "Well, yeah." And my sponsors always have told me, if Narcotics Anonymous asks you to do something, you do it. This was given to you freely. You do that for them. Because it's going to help me. It helps me to talk about my boy. It's painful, but it helps me. And so I think I was at that convention, and it was Sunday morning, so nobody came up to me and had things to say or anything, and I was able to make it. I went to a sponsorship retreat the weekend before with my sponsor, and then there was the convention. And I believe on that stage that Sunday morning, it dawned on me that my higher power asked me to ask that woman in Memphis to sponsor me, because I needed to be able to text my sponsor because I couldn't talk to her. And every day, everything that I wrote down in my notes, as soon as I got done writing it, I sent it to my sponsor. I even asked her a couple of times, if you don't want me to send these to you, I don't have to. And she said, "Please send them. You're not alone." So my higher power put that woman that I needed to learn to text in my life right at the time that I needed it, because I needed to text my sponsor. So life is beautiful. I miss my boy. My daughter has moved to Hot Springs, Arkansas. We have these great books. We have beautiful literature. And I'm going to read something out of this one. It's The Green and Gold, which is It Works How and Why. But I'm not going to tell you where I'm going to read it from. Because if you want to know where it is, read the book. We see that regardless of the presence or absence of material success in our lives, we can be content. We can be happy and fulfilled with or without money, with or without a partner, with or without the approval of others. We've begun to see that God's will for us is the ability to live with dignity, to love ourselves and others, to laugh and to find great joy and beauty in our surroundings. Our most heartfelt longings and dreams for our lives are coming true. These priceless gifts are no longer beyond our reach. They are, in fact, the very essence of God's will for us. And that is just the most beautiful sentence. Is it a sentence? It's a paragraph. See, I'm not so bright. But today, I'm not ashamed of that either. Because I'm with my people. I'm with my tribe. Y'all helped me with that. Because I needed the help. So, I'm going to say this with that. Sponsorship is one of the most beautiful things in recovery. The steps are the most beautiful thing that I could ever do for myself. And when I look in the mirror and I see Kathleen's reflection looking back, I love her. There's days I don't like her, and that's okay, as long as I love her. Because if I can love her the way I love you, I'm going to be okay. Because nobody's going to treat me as bad as... You ain't going to treat me as bad as I'm going to treat me. So I need to keep loving me. So sponsorship. I sponsored a woman for almost 10 years in Sweden. I didn't live in Sweden. She did. And we had a beautiful relationship. I would get up really early in the morning and we would Skype. I don't remember the date it was, but she reached out to me and she asked me if I would be willing to share at the World Convention this last year. And when I look at the similarities and the differences, I think, okay, so if I'm sharing one-on-one, that's where I'm most comfortable. I love sharing one-on-one. If I share in a meeting, it's okay. I've been around a little bit, and this is a little nerve-wracking in its own right. And I agreed to do a workshop at the World Convention in Washington, D.C. this last year. And there was three other people doing this with me. And I got a message from the other woman that was going to be there, that was up the other panel. And she reached out and she sent me a text saying something to the order of, OMG, this is intimidating. And it was like, okay. I mean, I've been to a world convention before, and it's big. But I like to look at it like, it's my family. It's my family. Well, as it was, this drug addict that never got anything right, that couldn't read when she got to Narcotics Anonymous, there was a lot of things that I wanted to do that I never could do, But the thing that I did that was right was I didn't use, I worked steps, I applied principles, I stayed clean, I learned to apply what I read, because life is beautiful. And it was intimidating. I was the first person on that panel to share, which was the opening meeting at the World Convention. It wasn't a workshop. It was a freaking main meeting. It's like these chairs wouldn't have made the first row. My higher power did that. My higher power did that, but I had to do the work. You guys didn't have to do the work. I had to do the work. I'm an addict. My name's Kathleen, and there isn't anything different from me that's different from you. We might have done some things differently, but we had the same thoughts, we had the same feelings, and we are in the same program, Narcotics Anonymous, and it rocks. Keep coming back.
Yeah.